is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Well, good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is Saturday morning, April 17th, 2021. A beautiful sunrise this morning. Blue skies, snow everywhere. Oh, it's a beautiful morning. Hope you're having a good day. Got good hot coffee. Got our Bibles opened. And we've got a full crew for you, Remnant, this morning. We'll bring everybody on and get started this morning. John, good morning, sir.
Morning.
And Jason, good morning to you, too.
Good morning.
And Tim, way out in Nebraska, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul from Michigan, thanks for being with us this morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning.
And Remnant, we say good morning to you as well, and we thank you. This isn't just an entertainment program, although sometimes it gets a little entertaining, I'd have to say. But it's an interactive program. We are live on the radio. We have the phone line open, 307-745-5913. And you talk about the Ultimate Reality Show, unscripted. It's... We come together, again, we've got our coffee and our Bibles, and a love for Jesus Christ and His will and His way and His kingdom and His word and His law. And it's what you call like-minded Christians. And so where the program goes, who knows? But we do, again, welcome you, the Remnant, and we're going to start out with prayer. John, we'll look to you, sir, to start us out with that.
Sure. Well, Heavenly Father, first and foremost, we praise you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the great sacrifice that was made over 2,000 years ago to save a wretch like us. Father, we ask for forgiveness with regards to falling asleep as the watchman over the house of Israel, for letting it get to this point. Father, we ask that you would hear us, your people who are called by your name, as we cry out for grace and mercy and compassion in your wrath, and that you would find us worthy to escape the things that are coming. Lord, we do claim the promises that you've given us as the sons of God. We come before you humbly, but also boldly, Lord, claiming those promises. That greater is he that is for us than all those that are against us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, and that you've given us authority to trample upon scorpions and serpents and over all of the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Lord, we know that when we're born again, when we come to that place of repentance, when we're willing to die to our old lives and to go into that watery grave, be born again of the water and the Spirit, and clothed with you, the Bible says we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and our name is entered in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Father, we know through the teachings in the Bible that that's where we contact the precious, holy, cleansing, healing, protective blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and at that point we are redeemed, purchased without money, out of man's system and into God's system. And that there's nothing that the enemy can do to us that God does not allow. Thank you, Father, for those promises that you've given us. Father, we do continue to cry out and an appeal to heaven for you to save America, heavenly kingdom, once again. We pray specifically as the patriarchs of our households, Lord, that you would give us wisdom, understanding, and discernment, that we'd be able to hear ye, the Lord, and that when we do, we would be obedient. Father, help us to have the means and to make the provisions necessary to wage this physical war, but more importantly, Father, we just pray that you would continue to reveal to us those things that are hidden in the living Word of God, the Bible. Those things that you told Daniel to seal up until the last days, and you said that in the last days knowledge would increase. Well, we claim that promise as well, Father. We ask that you would give us that knowledge, that it would continue to increase in these last days. Lord, we just plead that your blood over ourselves and our wives and our children and all that you blessed us with, realizing that there's no greater weapon offensively or defensively. Continue to pray that the things that were done in the dark would be brought to the light, shouted from the rooftops. Continue to pray that you would send confusion into the camp of the enemy, and that they would turn upon one another and devour one another. Continue to pray for righteous judgment. Pray for you to send your ministering angels to prepare those people's hearts, souls, and minds that we can reach while there's still yet time. Your guardian angels to protect those that are yours, and your warring angels to continue to battle Leviathan in the high places. Father, I just pray for mighty prayer warriors, Lord, that would be willing to put the time in on their knees to cry out and to pray for this nation. Men who are willing to fast and seek your guidance. Lord, forgive us for letting it get this bad. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And I'd like to start with a... Paul wrote letters to Timothy to tell him and to tell others of what he had learned and to encourage them. We see in 2 Timothy 3 the dangers that are coming. And he writes, he said, you should also know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like that. And I think that's good instructions for us today. I think it's very accurate when we look at the headlines. If you look at a newspaper, if you turn your computer on and bring up one of the news feeds, everywhere you look, it's very evident that God's word, praise the Lord, has come true. And that in these last days, because these difficult times have come, and the description that is given, no matter what translation you read, the description that is given is what we are living today in this land. The people without control, not caring, not knowing, or not caring the difference between good and evil, lovers of self, boastful, we see it all over. And as it says, stay away from people like that. The Judeo world looks at it that, oh, we just have to convert them. No, a lot of them are just unconvertible. You have to look at them as Goliaths. They're like Goliath. When David went to Goliath, he didn't try to explain Jesus to him. He didn't tell him, oh, there's a better way. You just need to follow this law. No, he understood that, well, that you had to stay away from people like that, from things like that. And it was, as we've heard here before, it was off the land or under it. And he got put under it. Such, I think, is the days that we're living in.
You know, I think we need to take this thing in a different direction. We've been telling them what they're doing. Yeah, that's obvious. They've been trying to destroy the white race since the Garden of Eden, and they've come really close many times. And right, you know, with that book of Esther, you know, they thoroughly intend to kill us. And now we need to dwell on the people like Gideon and David and all the other people that fought against the tremendous odds and won. When God's for you, who can be against you? And we need to dwell on that more than look at what they're doing. I mean, it's obvious what they're doing. They want to destroy us. They're, you know, we got a woman governor that here that's evil. You know, women are, but the church says women are not supposed to be in authority. And, you know, and Obama, blacks aren't supposed to rule over you. Everywhere we go, and the people don't even see it. How many people, yeah, they vote for Ben Carson, and I think he's a very intelligent man. But he's not to rule over us. We're to have one of our people rule over us. And the church has totally let the Bible go, and they don't have a clue what it's about. I see my, you know, you say to get away from them. I don't know how you get away from them, because everybody around me is getting vaccinated, and they're serving their God Baal. And they're just walking right into it. You know, I seen a church parking lot was packed the other day, and cars lined up down the road trying to get in, and I'm sure they're getting their vaccinations. But, I mean, you know, there's a remnant going to be left. You know, and there's going to be people that you know that they're not serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that article that John wrote, you should not take that vaccination. Now, we have people call in that did it. Through ignorance and stuff, and I don't know where that's going to go, but we need to stand our ground, and we know to look. See, we win. And we win. That's all there is to it. You almost got it. But see, the people, the American people have the government they deserve. They turn their back on God, and go back to Samuel, it's very oppressive, very destructive when you turn your back on God. And I would say we're getting close to the pinnacle of destruction for a lot of people.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think that the, I think that's one of the things that we need to be aware of too. Is they're trying to tell us what they're going to do against us. You know, you look at some of these news headlines. I saw one this morning, and it said a group of Black Lives Matter protesters were caught on camera telling a white liberal alley, "You're white. You don't belong here." Before demanding that he leave the area because he asked other protesters to stop throwing objects at the police, and basically goes on and then was later on threatened again. Basically, they're trying to do us, do us in. And, you know, you look around and you see what's going on and what they're putting out. And basically, I mean, it's like Dad talked about for a long time. It's, the person that is the least valued in this country is the white American Christian male. And, I mean, that's becoming evident as you see all of these things happening right before our eyes.
Well, if you've been watching any TV for the last 20 years, the white man, male, had a crosshairs on his back, and it's just coming to a pinnacle now. This didn't just happen. Satan and his children, and, you know, that's one of the problems of the Anglo-Saxon. He wants to believe everybody. He don't want to believe people are bad. Well, that's just a mistake. Ask Pastor Peters. Ask me. You know, it's a mistake. And, the enemy's in your own house. What does he say? I'll divide families. It'll be husband against wife. He said the word of God divides people. They don't bring them together. And who's listening to the word? And most are going over the cliff. I mean, if you've ever seen that picture of the sheep going over the cliff and one going the other way, excuse me, that's us.
Yep.
So, I mean, we're dwelling way on too much. They don't have no power. Old Haman thought he had them by the ear, too, you know, and he got hung on the gallows. And, you know, they're setting this up, but it's going to be to their own destruction. You know, the only bond in Washington, D.C. is money. I mean, they have no love for each other, and that's my community's about the same way. People are taking money from unemployment and all this stuff and think, but, you know, what about agriculture? What about eating? What about if you've got a pocket full of money and you can't buy nothing? That seems to be being set up as we go, I think.
And that's what happens when communism takes over.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was significant. Go ahead, John.
No, go ahead, Tim.
I thought it was significant that they were talking about probably the same article Jason was mentioning, but I was doing some reading, and they were talking about, the shots and the illegal aliens coming in. Of course, they're saying, well, they want to kill Americans and replace them with these third world subservient aliens. And my thought is that it's like usual. They got, you know, a little bit of truth in there, but the truth of the matter is it's what we've talked about before. It's an asymmetric war against white Americans. It's not really, I mean, they're bringing in everybody else is just an also-ran. They want to get rid of them. This is the last bastion of Christian freedom in the world. Any way you want to cut it, that's what we are. That's what we represent to them, is the last holdout of those things. And the open borders and the destroying of America, it's an asymmetric warfare and disarmament, but the eventuality of it is the truth of it is that they're the ones that are making it racial. They're the ones that are polarizing these elements, and it's not going to work out well for them. It's just, you know, it's going to be to their destruction, and that's what our Bible says. So, 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God."
Amen.
So, God is in it, and we're just seeing these things work out. And it's like, yeah, have fun, boys, because as Paul already said, the answer's there. We win. So,
for years we've been hearing about, you know, the threat of race wars, but there's no threat anymore. We're there. I mean, the race wars are taking place all about us. I think it's important that we recognize that the enemy, just like Pastor Peters told us for years, read and understand their Bible better than most Christians, and they know that, you know, the only way that they can be taken out of power is through the white Adamic race, the descendants of Adam. They also know that God said, Jacob I love and Esau I hate, and what we're battling is one version or another of Esau, who's trying to destroy God's plan, you know. These vaccines, they don't even hide the fact anymore that their goal is transhumanism. You know, they're trying to merge man with machine, basically to control them by electronic means. I mean, it's pretty sad, just like you said, Paul, to see these people lined up, you know. Obviously, the public school system has done a good job of indoctrinating these people. The fear tactic has worked. I think what you fear will come upon you, and the fact that if they're not grounded in Christianity, if they're not purchased with the blood of Jesus, if all they've been doing is playing church, which is 80-90% of the people that call themselves Christians, then they do fear the things of the world, and they fear what man can do to them. You know, the scripture that keeps coming to mind with me is the fact that don't fear the one that can kill you. Fear the one that once he's killed you can cast you into hell. And, you know, the people who are born again of the water and the spirit, who have contacted that blood, they understand that literally the worst thing that they could do in their eyes is to give us eternal life, and that's a huge advantage when you're fighting a war.
Amen to that. And the true Christian, as you said, John, understands that. The Judeo that is, been brought up, if they have it all, all they hear is, Jesus loves you. And if you just raise your hand and say you're a sinner, then that's it. You're in. And there's nothing you can do here anyway, because we're just all going to be raptured away. And they have believed the lie because they haven't had the love for the truth. And you're absolutely right. The reason Christianity was called the way early on, that's what it was called, was the way, because it is the way. The way to abundant life, the way to victory, the way to salvation, not only from our sins, as we were taught, but saved from the here and now, from the hands of those that hate us. They're not taught about Christ's return. You know, he's already been here as a babe in a manger. That's all you ever hear about. He came to take away the sins of the world. He's done that. He's done that. He's offered that free gift. And he's offered that strength and that saving. And when he returns, it's not, the Bible says, it's not in relation to saving from sin anymore. It's to rule with a rod of iron with those that are obedient to him, and to destroy all ungodliness and all of the ungodly. And that's what we need to focus on. We need to read and understand those scriptures.
Yeah, I try to do like Pastor Peters always said, to think outside of the box. And when you see what the narrative is that they're pushing, then you can bet it's almost a 180-degree turn from what that is the reality. And this fact that they've banned this J&J vaccine right now, in my opinion, is because it's not genetic altering. Granted, it absolutely does have human embryonic cells in it, which is kind of comical too if you think about it. I got people sending me texts and emails and stuff saying, well, they just proved that there is no fetal cells in the Johnson & Johnson. I said, who did? Oh, Snopes. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's another liberal organization that our stupid sheep use to try to prove their points, you know. But anyways, because it's not DNA altering, because, you know, the reality is Satan's ultimate goal has been to destroy that which God created. And what did God create? He created man in his image, right?
Yes.
So the fact that they're trying to destroy that which God created, your DNA is your code that God used basically to make you different from everyone else. And that's their ultimate goal, is to fulfill that which Satan's desire has been from the beginning. And it's sad to see the sheep just going to the slaughter. And you know, there are those that are naive, those that have been deceived. But man, I tell you what, I saw a meme the other day, and it says, "Well, how do you know if the person that you're sitting with has got the vaccine?" And then it pauses for a minute and it says, "Because they tell you." These people are excited
that's right. They
got the vaccine, and they're, you know, they're like, "Oh yeah, I got my first shot today." Well, which one did you get? Well, I don't know. You know, it's just, it's insanity. It really is. It's total insanity.
No doubt. Yeah.
Well, they haven't had a love for the truth, and so they are being deluded with a lie. And praise God, it's His word coming true. His word coming true.
I mean, you got our people trying to justify it and trying to, you say, well, you know, this and that, making excuses, this and that. I said, no. No.
That's right.
You got Franklin Graham come out and say Jesus Christ would take the vaccine. Huh. And you got these other preachers saying that, oh, well, yeah, they may use embryonic cells in it, but why not make something good out of something bad? You know, abortion's bad, but why not, let's make something good out of something bad? Really?
Yeah, it's an absolute perversion. Well, we're in the days, in the times, that good is called evil and evil is called good. You know, that the people in this land would have their eyes open to see that. But like was mentioned earlier, that public fool system has done a very good job over the last few generations of dumbing down the populace. And there is so much to do. Who's got time to read? You know, we'll get up and come to church tomorrow. And we have the opportunity to drive to La Porte Church of Christ. And there's snow. We got a lot of snow out here in Wyoming. And I can guarantee you this, that on my way to church tomorrow, I'll see no less than 15 or 20, if not 30 or 40, big old four-wheel drive trucks, new ones, hauling their toys, hauling their snowmobiles and their snow cats. And boy, they'll be going snowboarding. Anything and everything but to come and learn about the Word of God. Anything and everything except coming and worshiping God. And it's like that year-round. When there's snow, it's snowmobiles. When it's fly fishing season, they're got their little rowboats and they're headed to the rivers. And when it's warmer, it's the four-wheelers. And our enemy has done a good job of that, just like we've read. That it's anything and everything but God. And that's one of the problems, too. You try to explain these things to people. Oh, it's whether it's natural disasters. Oh, Mother Nature's mad at us. Or, you know, El Nino just wanting another taco, you know, just mad at not bringing us moisture. Or anything and everything but God gets blamed. And anything or everything gets credited. You know, oh, that vaccine will save us, is what they... what they're believing. And I think it just comes down to, may the best God win. You trust in your small g God, small v vaccine God, and I'll trust in the God of the universe, and we'll see how eternity works out for you.
Yeah, Brother Marlon shared with me the other day a message that Pastor Peters did many years ago, that we're not to fret evildoers. I think it's Psalm 37, 1 and 2. And there's a good lesson there. He said it's more pertinent now than it was, you know, when he preached it. Imagine that. So are most of the messages that he did. It's interesting how you can reflect on the messages that were, by God's grace, have been preserved and are being played on the network, how much more pertinent they are today. And, you know, had the world heeded the warnings that God put out through Pastor Peters, we'd be in a different situation than we are today, in my opinion.
Well, my only comfort, I don't have very many friends. I don't have enough money to buy any more. So my only comfort comes out of Scripture that, you know, when, John, you did that thing on Esther and stuff, that just really hit me when I read through that book and stuff like that. And when you see, this is their plan. And then how God worked it out at just unbelievable odds and on the clear ways that he does it. You know, we don't always know. You know, look how the king picked Esther, you know, and how he worked it all out through the, you know, when he got rid of the other queen from a rebellion. And there's just a tremendous story in there. And then I don't know. Yeah. I think we have to dwell on that kind of stuff because, hey, the enemy's in your own house. I've lived it. The enemy's in your own house. They hate you. I don't care who you are. You stand up for righteousness and you don't have very many friends. That's just the way it is. But they do respect you. The kid, he's probably 50 years old. He was in my youth group, and he was just telling me how appreciative he was of what I did for him back then. He said, my mom and dad, you know, I used to take him up north and do stuff with him and stuff, you know, and wasn't really that smart, but I gave him my time and my honesty. But it's really neat to hear something come back like that. You know, when you sowed seed years ago, and I wasn't all that bright back then, but I knew the establishment didn't know either, so I didn't know that much. But it was really refreshing to hear it. And then I was talking to him. He runs a great big farm, and he just last week he went and took his little. He got two little girls and a boy, and he went down to Tennessee, and they went to this forge. And he had girls, I don't know, they're 5, 6 years old, the oldest one, and they. The guy took a horseshoe, got it hot, straightened it out, and they made knives, you know, and he had to tell me that, how refreshing that, and he had a smile on his face. When I talk about his farmer stuff, he's always looked stressed out to me, but when he told me that story about his little girls, I says, the best thing you can do is give your children your time, you know, and the best thing you can give them your time is work beside them, you know, just whatever you're doing, when you work together, that's what gives you the joy, so, and we are in a desert, and we're in a bad situation at the moment, but God's going to work it for good, and we're going to come out on the other side. So we have to stand on the Scripture. I mean, that's my joy.
I agree.
It appears the enemy is trying. I think they know that the writing's on the wall, so to speak, and, you know, God is a God who hears and answers the prayers of his people, and the things that have been done in the dark continue to be brought to the light constantly. Boy, if you can't see confusion in the camp of the enemy, look at the head of the acting president. I mean, you can't get much more confusing than that. And the fact that the right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing, the fact that they throw each other under the bus almost on a daily basis. I mean, there's confusion in the camp of the enemy. And we know that there's a great battle going on in the high places and down below too, I believe. I mean, God is using his righteous angels to battle, you know, the demonic forces of hell. But I was reading some articles, and it's kind of the series that I started, I think, in the newsletter regarding, these people, they no longer hide the fact that they worship Lucifer, and they look at him as a light giver, and that God was, you know, too restrictive and too, you know, too by the book, by the laws, and Lucifer wasn't going to follow that, you know, and they try to make their own narrative of why Lucifer and, the fallen angels came to earth, and they make it like it was their decision to walk away from God, you know, instead of what the truth was, that God cast them out. And they could never come back to the kingdom of God. And, you know, we have so many in our midst now that have made the deal with the devil. There's no, you can't even hide it anymore. I mean, they admit it. And for their position and their wealth and notoriety here on this earth. And it's just interesting to see out of their own mouth them proclaiming, you know, Lucifer is their God.
Yep. Well, and
it's pretty obvious when you got like Nike coming out with their Satan shoes. You know, 666 pairs of shoes sell out in less than a minute. Each pair of shoes contain a drop of blood, inverted cross on it with a pentagram on it. I mean, you know, and then people don't want to believe that there's evil, wicked people out there.
Well, Nike even says that they weren't involved in it because they got such a pushback on it. But you know darn well that they were involved in it.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
It was funny to see that Foot Locker. Did you see this story? The Foot Locker donated like $200 million, something like that, some astronomical amount of money to Black Lives Matter. And they totally destroyed and burned the store in Minneapolis. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw pictures, but there's pictures of windows, Stop Racism, Black Lives Matter, and all this, and all the windows are all broken out, and the thing's firebombed, and, I mean, you
maybe
can't make
they couldn't
this stuff
read.
Up. Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, the other thing that's come out is that founder of Black Lives Matter is, you know, they've put out of all the million-dollar homes she's bought. And one of the headlines was Black Lives Manor. And, you know, again, it ties back to that confusion in the camp. The things that they've done are coming to light. The spells that they used last year, the last century, the last 10 years ago, they aren't working anymore because that time is coming to an end. And the things that they're doing are being made known. Now, whether the people do anything about it or not, whether the people, you know, believe it or not, well, that's that free will. That's up to the people to believe it or not.
Well, it's no different than, I mean, Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I mean, it's all been done before. And I think what we're seeing now, we were actually talking to some people in the last couple of days, and what we're seeing is the manifestation of the things that we can't see. I mean, this stuff's been going on for a long time. Some of us, you know, have talked about it and tried to show it, but suddenly it's becoming more of a physical manifestation of what's been going on in the heavens and in the spiritual world. And it's no different right now than when the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were going into the Promised Land. The reason those people were put out of the Promised Land, the Canaanites, was because they were continually evil in all their thoughts and imagination. You know, they worshiped false gods. They destroyed the land. They were consumers of everything that God gave, and they were put out of it. And I think that's what we're seeing right now, and that's the confusion among our people. And just like then, it's like, choose you this day who you will serve, you know? I mean, it's like, swords out and get ready, guys, because here it comes. And some of them couldn't deal with it. You know, there were those who couldn't, but there were some who could. And I don't think it's about numbers to God as much as about the condition of the heart and the commitment to godly values. And that's where we're at today. I mean, it's like, okay, here it all is. Choose, you know, and they've brought all these things on, and they continue to pour them out, and the cup is filthy, and God's going to cleanse it. I mean, that's the way it works. So it's coming, and we win.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen what's going on in Canada, but boy, they got the lockdowns on COVID on steroids right now, and they just continue to increase removing the freedom from those people. I've been actually talking with Brent, used to be a probably still a member of the body. But anyways, he's shared with me a lot of the things that are going on in Canada, and it's pretty frightening, really, if you think about it. I mean, unless you're a Christian, obviously. But, you know, the fact is that they've lost control over this pandemic here in the U.S., and a lot of people are waking up. A lot of people, places you go into now, they're not wearing masks. You know, I don't think I've worn a mask for quite some time now. And there's some places that will flat out, you know, try to surround you and try to kick you out of the place. And that's fine, whatever, if that's what they want to do. But I'll tell you what, most places, you don't wear it. Nobody says a word. And the other people who aren't wearing it, you know, pretty much high five you or whatever. And but I also think that the fact that their Great Reset is falling apart, not coming to fruition, that their plan is to enact something else, something major. There's no doubt that we're hearing of wars and rumors of wars. In fact, I would say it's a little bit exceeded past the rumors of wars with what's going on with Russia and Crimea and what's going on with China and Taiwan. So, interesting times. I'm grateful that the Lord saw fit to allow me to live in these times. I'm grateful that we've had a pastor for 30 plus years that equipped us in this spiritual warfare that we're in, and told us the truth about how to battle these demonic forces of hell, which is what we're battling.
Amen.
Some of our worst enemy is at our next door neighbor, because, you know, my wife was in the store yesterday and this lady wasn't wearing a mask, and she went and talked to her. She says, "No, I never wear a mask." He says, "The store don't say nothing," but he said, I do get heat from people in here that will tell me I should be wearing it." And see, this is the whole thing. It's a divide and conquer. It's the oldest thing in the world. Your neighbor is possibly your worst enemy, because he serves another god, and he's going to, you know, jump right in and just stomp on you, what it amounts to. And so, you know, the Bible says in evil time the prudent man will keep silent. So I'm careful who I talk to. You know, I don't say, I see stuff going on, and you know, people make choices. You know, that's one of the things where I've got my joy back, is people make choices. I just have to accept it. They make choices. Like Tim says, that free will that God gave us. See, all of creation glorifies God by its very existence. Man is the only one that can come back and say thank you. And that's the way he wants it. He don't want somebody that don't want to be one of his children. So, yeah, we get to choose our destiny, I believe.
One of the fringe benefits, I think, to this thing is I started to hear him say that the vaccinated people need to stay away from the people who aren't vaccinated. Maybe that's God's way of separation as well, too. But in my opinion, that's just going to be an added bonus. The fact that the Antichrist demon rats who overwhelmingly lined up to take the vaccines are going to be told to stay away from those people who refuse to take the vaccine. So God has his way of separating us.
Okay. I gotta tell you about a guy I deal with. He just came out of Catholic Church. He was going down to Lansing and demonstrating on Sunday. They had the thing, and he went and talked to his priest. And basically, his priest said, "What are you doing down there?" And boy, he just came unglued. He said, "Why ain't you going down there?" Well, he left the Catholic Church immediately, and he was devoted. Well, then his wife, she went and got her vaccination behind his back. Well, he moved out of the bedroom that same day. So I ain't gonna be around you. I ain't abandoning you, but I don't want to be near you. You know, because he understands you think about all these people are vaccinated, are carrying the disease around and spreading it.
Yeah.
Because I thought that was a pretty neat story. You know, but see, this is what's going on right now as I see it. There's a polarization coming. The right's going to the right and the left's going to the left. Because, you know, even the farm markets are just going crazy with business. You know, there's a lady not far from her, she's usually about $40,000 a year. She did over $100,000 in last year because of the pandemic. The people, see, we don't know who's out there, but Israelite basically is a farmer down deep. That's why we have so many parks and stuff. They have farmer in them. And then, and when this happened, they were going for food, and they understood it. And we don't know who's out there, and we don't know how many there are. But there's a polarization going on right now as we speak. So we have to just accept that.
Yeah, I know something else that's encouraging, in my opinion, is I lead this Wednesday morning prayer breakfast with anywhere from 12 to probably 16, 18 people. And the fact that they come now because they're hungering and thirsting for the truth, and they get something outside of the box, typically not what they're hearing in the local churches. But most of these people that you wouldn't have thought would ever woke up, they've left their church, the churches that they've gone to for 20, 30 years. And the preachers would start talking about Black Lives Matter. I had one first hand account of a man who was in the church, and the pastor said, "All right, now we're all going to stand and repent of our whiteness." And that was it. So there's a move going on. There's a push. I mean, we know that most of the churches are syndicated as far as what they're allowed to preach and what they aren't, and as well as they have an agenda, and that agenda is circulated. The sermons that are preached in most of the Judeo-Christian churches are pre-scripted, and there's a push right now for to repent of being a white, of your white privilege, you know. And boy, they couldn't make it more obvious. And the good news is that there's a lot of people that's the final straw, finally, that their eyes are being opened. You know, I've had a couple people in that morning prayer breakfast say that, "Well, you're too harsh, though. You know, you run people off." And I'm like, you know what? There's thousands of pastors and preachers and teachers in this land that'll pat them on the ass and tell them how good they are and Jesus loves them. There ain't very many that'll tell them, "If you don't repent, you're going to hell." And that's the choice. That's the path that the Lord put me on, and that's the path I'm staying on. If you don't like it, don't let the door hit you in the butt, you know. But
well, you're getting like your teacher.
They appear to be hungering and thirsting for the truth, which is, it's a blessing.
Amen to that.
You know, I've got a pamphlet there, "The Gift That Changed the Preacher." It's from Scriptures for America, but it talks about that. In the conclusion here, the Neophytes. Does anybody know what that is?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's somebody new to it. My daughter told me.
Oh.
Because I read her this, and she looked it up. "Neophytes to the cause find the Saxon situation depressing. Veterans find it exhilarating." That's us. "For the first time in 2,000 years, Saxons have identified their troubles. To correct them, providential changes are in progress throughout the entire West. On the economic front, usury fraud is now common knowledge. On the religious front, our people are deserting state churches in unprecedented numbers and are rediscovering the Word, which is their God. In the past, the Saxon was given a vision of a sail, and he built a boat to use it. Then he was given a vision of a flying machine, and he built that. Now he has been given a vision of a world of his own that is free from domination by the strangers and are ruled only by the Word. It's only a question of time before he builds that too." That was what's the name of them? That was a quote from Hoskins. Anyway, but that's providential, because to a neophyte it's depressing, you know. And that's what we, you know, I think we have a tendency to teeter between that. But to the veteran, it's exhilarating, and I think that's the way the attitude we should have. It's exhilarating what's going on right now. There's a division coming. I've been waiting for the fall of Babylon for, Frank, I thought it had been here 30, 40 years ago, and it just goes on and on and on. I remember Hoskins talking up in Wisconsin that his war cycle, peace cycle, well, he said this has gone sideways for 15 years. it was, well, that was how many, 20 years ago, he says. So it's, that's how long it's been going sideways from that Motorcycles, P-Cycles book. He was quite a man. He had a vision.
So,
you know, I think that's what we need to dwell on. We need to be exhilarated in what's going on. We can't look at people because they're gonna, that's going to be depressing because we see it every day, and we get depressed when they don't listen. But don't expect them to listen. You know, think Jesus. He went to that cross all by himself. What if nobody would have listened? He would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
So, and that's, well, that's the mindset we need. That's the mindset we need.
Our reality is created or visualized into reality through heavenly power. I mean, Matthew 18:19, you want to talk about power on our side of the thing? A lot of times we focus on, oh, they're doing this and they're doing that, and they're so strong and they're so powerful. But Matthew 18:19 says that if just two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. I mean, when we seek God's face and visualize and pray and ask, it's done. You know, I mean, that's real power. I mean, they're out there creating all these false gods and all these false narratives and everything else and destroying things. And they have to put in all this physical effort and sacrifice their lives and their blood and wear shoes and do all these whatever gimmicky things that they do to get people. And God says, all you got to do is just agree and ask. It's done. You know, I mean, the power there is, a lot of times we don't realize how much authority and how much power we have on earth to change, you know, I mean, especially as relates to the way God wants things done. I mean, just to, that's, it should be heartening and enlightening and strengthening and uplifting, I think.
Yeah, you can
all
see
that. All power is given
to us. Amen. All the people are leaving Catholic Church in droves, just like you said with that gentleman that you represented. But the Pope seems to have finally pulled out all the stops with regards to his purpose and his mission as for Jesuit. It says Pope Francis goes full communist. Says sharing property is not communist but pure Christianity. And that was just a few days after he was pushing for regeneration of existing institutions and global governance, because we are in debt to nature itself as well as the people and countries affected by human-induced ecological degradation and biodiversity loss. And I think I've said it before, but I've tried to explain to people who call themselves Christians that you realize that if we did but three things, kept God's laws, commandments, and statutes according to Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14, the blessings that he would shower down upon us would be innumerable. We wouldn't have to worry about overpopulation, food, anything. And they can't even get it through their head. They're like, well, no, that can't be. I mean, there's too many people, you know, and there's not enough resources. And so it's just kind of unfathomable sometimes to believe the stupidity that's in our people, to be honest with you.
Amen.
But, well, you take and it just occurred to me that people that are getting these vaccinations are scared to death, and they're looking for salvation through the vaccine, and they're walking right into the trap.
Yeah.
They're scared to death.
Yeah, there's a reason the Bible says, 170 times, fear not, right? Because it makes you do things that that are not right.
Other than God, and that's the problem. If you summed it up in just a few words, people don't fear God anymore. They used to revere the Bible and fear God. They don't.
True.
You know, my daughter just gave me a watch, and she had it engraved with a verse. Let me just a second.
Yep.
And as she told me, she's 40-some years old, but anyway, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7.
And, that's right.
That just means so much to me because she taught me she'd scared feeding the cows and all that stuff. And she said, I don't remember doing it, but I'm sure I did. You know, I always told her that verse, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. Fear is, look at that TV and everything. They're driving fear into people. That's what's going on right now. Whom you fear is whom you serve. I got a feeling 30 years from now, if things stay the same, I won't be around anyway, so what do I got to fear? Fear Jesus.
Well, the thing that can't be there is faith when fear is present, and the enemy knows that. So, we talked about this for years. They always try to keep the people in fear, and it appears that they've accomplished that with regards to this plandemic.
Well, they can't coexist. Fear and faith don't coexist, period.
That's right. Yep.
It's one or the other.
Amen. Well, guys, we're about out of time. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, the Remnant, for tuning in. And we've got church planned for tomorrow. And so we invite you. You can do that. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 6:30 for you guys on the West Coast. And join us. We'll have a review of the news, an insight and study. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth that, as was mentioned earlier, were super relevant in their time, but they are needed today. They are. It's just the prophetic word that is coming true, that we need to see and hear today. John, looking forward to your live message, and we'll partake of communion. And so we invite you to come to church with us. Again, you can do that, scripturesforamerica.org, and click on the live video stream, and the good Lord willing, we'll be there. Thanks again, and guys, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, shake high.
Ha! Ha! Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
snake high.
Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide.